Good evening and welcome to our Tuesday night call. We were talking about this earlier in the week in the office, and we said we're going to start calling this Tuesday Night Celebration of Life. Now, some of us may go, our conversation about this last week when we said, you know, that sucks, but I'm okay. This is an opportunity for us to, every Tuesday night, to get regrounded and take these principles into our life for another week. We want to welcome everyone who is here for the very first time. We've got a lot of special guests with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. So excited to have you with us. On these calls, we take the occasion to walk through the six qualities of an intentional creator. I'm going to put this on mute just a moment. Just a housekeeping order, I've gone ahead and put it on mute, but anyone can come off mute by pressing star 6, and you just say, Dave, Dave, and I'll acknowledge you. As soon as you hear me talking, you know I can hear you. This call is for you. This is your coaching session, as if you and I were together individually. And every time someone has the courage to address a question or a challenge or share a story, I can promise you that it is so inspiring. I get the emails. Thank you. Oh, that sharing was wonderful. Thank you for that insight that I got on the call last night from so-and-so. When you share, just trust that there are a number of other people dealing with the same issue. So press star 6. If you feel impressed during this event to share, please do. And we will have you participate in this call. We just love the participation. Now, during these Tuesday night calls, we take the occasion to go through each of the six qualities of an intentional creator. It takes about 8 to 9, sometimes 10 weeks to get all the way through them. And then we cycle back through them again. And every time is different because the needs in the moment are different. Each one of these calls, I am just seeking inspiration to meet the needs of those who are currently on the call. Often I'm addressing issues based on emails I've received during the course of the week, situations that you're challenged with during the week, so that we can make these calls as personal and as timely as possible. They are live. This is not a recorded call. You can come off of mute and say hi to me right now if you'd like to. Now, I want to take just a moment for the benefit of all of those who are visiting with us for the first time, just to review very quickly where we have been over the last few weeks, so that when we're discussing order and structure and discipline tonight, we'll have a context. Last week, we had a very interesting conversation. It was a conversation based on an experience that I had had, and I shared it, and then I shared it on my Facebook. This last Saturday, I had the occasion of speaking to a wonderful group of real estate investors down in Texas, some good friends down there, many of them who have been to our cabin for couples retreats and had personal coaching experiences, just wonderful people. As I share this concept, I'm not alarmed, but I'm pleasantly surprised that almost everyone starts to laugh. It helps us keep everything in perspective. So before I tell you about the six qualities, let me just share this one piece with you again. For those who haven't heard it and those who have, take this one more week into your life. Are you or have you ever experienced, you know, one of those difficult moments, you know, the ones that we would vote to avoid if we got a vote? Anybody had one of those? Well, I had one, and it was just wearing on me a bit, and Ramona called me one day at the office and said, "Sweetheart, how you doing?" And this just flowed out of my mouth. I said, "You know, it sucks, but I'm okay. I'm okay." Wow, I am. I really am. I mean, I could get ornery and frustrated and have a pity party, but the truth of the matter was I was okay. It's also true that that event really, not the event itself, the financial component of that event, wasn't very favorable. We have moments like that. We all have them. And some of them truly do. They just suck. They suck the energy out of us, the enthusiasm out of us, the desire sometimes to even engage in life. It's just this big vacuum just wants to suck us right in. And when we get sucked in, oh, woe is me, and we're frustrated and angry. And I said to Ramona several times since with a new awareness, wow, sweetheart, you know, I'm really not as frustrated as I sound. I'm not really as angry as I look. I really am okay. It's kind of a surprise. Wow, I'm okay. And I shared last week that when we reach this point, that I'm okay, that we face a really critical moment that impacts our ability to fully maximize the six qualities of an intentional creator. So this is the moment we want to reach before we start taking on these, and we'll start learning them, and we'll come back, and we'll get better at this moment. You see, it's in this moment when we say, gosh, I'm okay. As Og said in Scroll 6, that the plants and trees depend on the weather, but yea, I make my own weather. Viktor Frankl said in Man's Search for Meaning that the last of the human freedoms is the right to choose our attitude in any circumstances. This is our right. Interestingly enough, we have, as Og said, surrendered our free will, our right to make this choice, to years of accumulated habits. These are thoughts, habits of thinking. And the past deeds of my life have already marked out a path that threatens to imprison my future. Because if when things happen, we get sucked in, we're in an emotional prison. If when things happen and we go to say, I'm okay, but we're reluctant to let go of the next piece, we're imprisoned. We are only free when we make the conscious decision to be okay. And when we make that decision, we immediately discover, oh my goodness, how will everybody know how much I'm suffering? How will they know how much I'm sacrificing and how painful this is? Oh! And I shared last week, truth is, they don't care. We would be less concerned about what other people think about us if we knew how little they actually do. It's not because they're just selfish. It's just they're absorbed in their own stuff. That's how the world works. That's why the greatest secret of success is focusing on another human being, because very few are. Very few. Most are stuck in their stuff. And when we say, I'm okay, I'm going to be giving people energy, not sucking energy from them. I've had it sucked from me, but I'm not going to suck it from them. I'm going to make the decision to be okay, and then I'm going to find my energy in a new place, a brand new place. And the first one is tied directly to quality number one, connecting with people. I am going to start focusing on other human beings and what they need. I'm going to find out what's important to them, and I'm going to verbalize it. I'm going to listen for doors and step into their world. I'm going to try on their dreams. I'm going to create this safe place for them. I'm going to gain agreement and share with them those things that I think could be important to them to bless their lives. I'm going to really care about them. I'm going to connect with people. I'm going to stop making this about money. I'm going to start making this about service. And when we serve unselfishly with great products, we generate tremendous incomes. That's just a fact. I'm going to do that, quality number one. In that quality, I'm going to learn how to be a partner with that power that's greater than myself, I call God, in bringing abundance to the lives of other people. That's His mission. That's my conception of Him. You get to have your own. As it says in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, God does make too hard of commands on people who seek Him. He just doesn't, it's just not, use your own conception. It's okay for starters. Just know that power exists. And when you start truly focusing on blessing other human beings, something precious happens. It just does. That's quality number one. Quality number two, I am now free to be in creation mentally. I'm not going to waste my mental time in catastrophe and fantasy. I'm going to spend my time in mental creation. I'm going to use my vivid visualization to mentally rehearse future events and get clarity about what needs to be created. I'm going to seek inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve in my uniqueness, put them on my path and I'll serve them. I'm going to explore possibilities without making tangible commitments. I'm going to plan. I'm going to goal set visually, vividly. Keep that goal above my head. I'm going to have passion ignited in my soul. And I'm going to function with passion-driven action. Third, quality, I'm going to stay present in the now. Either fully present in my mind, now fully present in tangible reality, doing the work of creation, turning those vivid visualizations into tangible reality, knowing that that power will now manifest people on my path who I can serve and who can serve me. Some of you tonight might experience that very thing. You want to keep your eyes open for opportunity when it knocks. And when you've fully utilized your ability, trust that that power will grant you more ability. Those are the first three qualities. Those are the first three we've been discussing. Now we're going to go into discipline and structure, and then we'll go from that to finding joy in the journey, sorrow, pain, joy, remuneration, recognition, managing your time, finding meaning and purpose in all you do. And then lastly, we're going to go into self-esteem. What causes low self-esteem? What's the objective? How do you heal it? And we're going to go through very specific techniques for doing so. And those of you who have these tools, who are listening, you can go to your website, and I'm so excited to tell you this. It's not up yet. I have been with the developer this afternoon on the beta version, which will be released before this week is out, I am told. And it is going to be so fun to go to your tool set, because it's going to be so easy to find everything, so much easier. You'll go and it'll say 10 scrolls, you click, you pick your scroll, and there it is. Narrating the scroll, unveiling the secrets with me, the keys to success, whatever you want to listen to. You go to quality number one, you click on it, you pick the section you want to study, and boom, there it is, the audio. You are going to now be able to download the audio transcription so that you can follow along for your eyes only, a practicum, which is a workbook to go along with that audio, which is really cool. And you can listen to the audio, of course. And then in your group coaching section, obviously these calls are recorded, and you can go access them at any time. And then you have your personal journal. And each one of those sections you can write in your breakthrough journal, save it, go back at it and look at it later based on which quality you were in. Magnificent tools. It's going to be fun for those of you who want to send your friends to the site, because the site now, when you go to it, allows you to go listen to inspiring stories, it will this week when it's released, to go demo what an assessment is like and what the tools teach before they ever make a commitment to take an assessment, so they can actually do some test driving, if you will. And then we've done some things to make the assessment experience itself easier to understand for each one of you. I'm so excited for you by the end of this week to be able to go to intentional creation. You want to go to the home site and just play around with it. You may want to take a new assessment, go to your tools. For those of you who are on there, you'll be able to go to your member login and go right to those tools and see the changes. Some of those changes are already there. Matter of fact, go there tonight and check out your tools. You'll see the tools as I've just described them. That's already been put into the program. You'll also notice that when you go to Quality 1, for an example, connecting with people, not only are all of the subject material there, walls of resistance, empathy, intuition, intrinsic validation for those seven principles and partnership, your assessment report for those six measurements that directly relate to connecting with people, you can click on that and look at those. The affirmations, the six affirmations to help you shift those thought processes if they're out of balance and to maximize those that are already natural strengths are in that section as well. So quality one, everything you need for it is right there. Quality two, everything you need is right there. Go have some fun with that tonight. The rest of it should be up by the end of the week so that you can have a marvelous experience with this very powerful tool. 30 hours of training combined by coming here every Tuesday night for a year and driving them deeper. So let's dive them. Let's go to discipline and structure. Let's take a look at this and see if we can't learn something tonight about what I would call sometimes our rebellious and resistant nature. If you have your assessment available, you're going to want to look at the measurement disciplined and teachable and analytical. That's a good place to start. See what color those are. Analytical, teachable, and disciplined. These thought processes, and most of you on the phone are entrepreneurial, are out of balance, and there's some tremendous strength in them. When they're out of balance, when they're like orange or red in your assessment, it doesn't mean you're sick or wrong, because this isn't you. These are just thought processes putting pressure on this characteristic of disciplined, for an example, because we want to be disciplined, but sometimes we want to think outside the box. Being creative is the gift of the entrepreneur. Resisting structure is also the curse, because sometimes entrepreneurs, if they don't have passion to drive them, they have a little time trouble maybe getting out of bed and staying on a schedule and dotting I's and crossing T's and doing those kinds of things. And teachable, sometimes they really don't want to listen. You know, they're pretty sharp. And quite often they're dealing with people that aren't really quite up to speed, and it's frustrating, and they just don't want to listen. And analytical, sometimes they're constantly, obsessively thinking about new and better ways to do things. And we'll talk about the great risks associated with those kinds of thought processes here in a few moments. But as entrepreneurial people, let us for a moment step back from these thought processes and make sure that we're using them creatively. We're using them to advance our businesses and lives and relationships, and they are not showing up and destroying us. What comes to mind when you hear the word obedience? Just reflect on it for a moment. Do you get a little hair raise up on the back of your neck? How about words such as law and order, and discipline and structure and policy, procedure, mandate, requirement, congruence, commitment? Do any of these conjure up memories of being coerced and manipulated and restricted and confined and limited or controlled? Or any of these associated with boring and mundane and repetitious or burdensome work? Here's the truth. If you went to Alaska and you went out and you leased your own boat, and you decided to go wandering around between some of the islands along the shore, there's a very good chance that without a nautical map and some instruction, you'd most likely take out the bow of your boat. Because along those shores, there are rocks that are just 3 feet or so below the surface. And if your boat's drafting more than 3 feet, it's gone. You just rip it right out, rip the hull right out from underneath you. You see, when we're told to follow a straight and narrow way, we have these thought processes go, but I don't want to be confined. I don't want to be restricted. I want to have the freedom to go and do what I want to do. And that's okay, so long as you understand that the word straight is spelled S-T-R-A-I-T. S-T-R-A-I-T, straight. It's not the shortest distance between 2 points. It's a narrow way that leads through this circuitous route that takes us between those rocks so we don't rip out our hull. We want to make sure that we're not rebelling against structure that is there to bless our lives. That doesn't make any sense. But with these three thought processes that I've mentioned to you and looking at your assessment, there is a risk that we could summarily dismiss structure simply because it's structure. So we want to be very careful that we're not avoiding structure just for structure's sake. That we, in fact, understand that there is some structure that is in our best interest to surrender to. Now, many of you on this phone have gone through some hellacious experiences in the last year or so. Just unbelievable. I'd like to say that Ramona and I are not exempt. But when I spend time coaching and working with individuals and hear the pain they're struggling with, it pales. My situation pales in comparison. I feel embarrassed to even whine. And there is a point in time where we surrender. We just choose to surrender. We stop fighting and resisting and resenting and saying to a power greater than ourselves, okay, I'm ready to learn the principles. Quality one, mastering the art of connecting with people. I'm going to stop selling them and start serving them. I'm going to stop fantasizing about what it's like when I'm going to be rich. I'm going to start using that vivid visualization to get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems that will literally, physiologically ignite my passion, passion that will drive my focus, discipline, effort, and action. I'm going to discipline myself to stay present in the now, fully available, bring all my gifts and genius and ability to the service of another person and tangibly create those dreams. I'm going to surrender to the very principles that will bless my life. It is then, and only then, that we discover that obedience, and you may want to write this down, obedience, before I tell you this, I want to share with you where I heard this. I was teaching a class at our church one day, and one of my dear friends, Margie Weed, whose husband had passed away shortly before this, and just a dear, sweet man that everybody just loved him. I know I loved him. And there's Margie, and we're talking about obedience. And sometimes in religious settings, it sounds confining and restrictive, the way it's taught. And she raised her hand, and she said, Dave, you know, I've always viewed obedience as an invitation to freedom. Obedience as an invitation to freedom. Think about that. I am going to follow the laws of creation, quality one, quality two, quality three, four, five, and six, because when I am congruent with those laws, I actually start to experience the very things that I want. Obedience to principle is an invitation to freedom. Now, I remember that one of my favorite songs was a song that Josh Groban sings called Let Me Fall. And it's got kind of a haunting melody. And I was sitting here one morning, because almost 2 years I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I would write. And I would write and write and write till 8 o'clock when I started coaching. That's how we got all of this material written. And one morning I put on Josh Groban just to get some inspiration. Let Me Fall came on. And I had this inspired moment to go look up the lyrics on the internet. Because my ear, for some reason, I can't hear them sing and discern what the lyrics really were. And I'm sitting here looking at the lyrics on the internet, and Josh Groban is singing the song, and I've got tears dripping off my cheeks. He spoke to me so deeply that morning. I'd recommend you go get the song, but I'm going to read this piece of the lyrics, just a short piece of it. He says, let me fall. Let me climb. There's a moment when fear and dreams must collide. We want this. We're afraid to do that. Fears and dreams must collide. Someone I am, that's the real me, is waiting for my courage. The one I want, the one I will become, will catch me. He describes in this poetry, as beautifully as I've ever seen it written, that there is the real me, I am. I am Linda, I am Lisa, I am Shane, I am. Then there's this voice, all these mixed up thought processes that want to claim that that's me. And these particular three thought processes I've shared with you, more than any other thoughts in this entire graph, want you to believe this is who you are. They're the hardest to step back from. And that's what he's pleading. Let me fall. Let these voices fall away so that I can climb. There's a moment when this fear and these dreams must collide. This person I am, this person I really want to be, is waiting for me to have courage and to let go of these thought processes, to surrender. And the promise is that the real me will catch me. You know, once we're determined to jump, to surrender, to be free from those tethers of resistance and rebellion, or being comfortable, because some of us just want a life without any more stress. And those thoughts are usually caused by some kind of fear. We can finally take the leap, trusting that the one I will become will catch me. And we can add, the power that governs abundance will willingly stand by my side and be my active partner. And oh, what an amazing partner. However, this can only happen when we surrender our resistance and our rebelliousness and often self-centric lives. Woe is me and pity party and life sucks and oh, it's horrible and oh, the pain I'm suffering. That's all great because you are. That's real. That does suck. The life right out of you. We step back and let that go. I am okay. I am the real me. I am okay. Now, as we begin this process, there are a couple things that we want to discover. These three particular thought processes create some very unusual challenges for us. Just take out a pen and a paper and just take some notes on this. First, when the measurement analytical, particularly analytical, is orange or red, and it's not the only one in the assessment that does it, we're just zeroing in on these particular thoughts tonight. When this one is orange or red, we can think very obsessively. Very obsessively. Constantly thinking about new and better ways to do things. And just when we get an idea and we go to execute on it, what do? We come up with even a better idea. So when we're constantly thinking, one of the great risks, one of the barriers to connection and productivity is that we just keep thinking and never get to doing. Number two, this is a strange one to fully comprehend, but in this part of our brain, the thought processes are called dualistic. Dualistic means or nothing. Right or wrong, win or lose, life or death. There is nothing in between. In other words, when your mind is thinking and thinking and thinking, and it gets an idea and it gets locked into that idea, and someone has one that varies, even a degree, it's all yours or nothing. It's all or nothing. You might have heard phrases like, well, do it this way or I won't put my name on it. If they're late, everything is ruined. If we can't be on time, why go at all? If it rains, the day is a disaster. I can't do anything under these conditions. If this doesn't work, it will cost me everything. I have no other choice. You'll hear that kind of dialogue. And when someone tries to challenge it, its favorite phrase is, yes, but. Yes, but. Just know that one of the great risks and barriers to connecting with other people and being productive is getting locked into an idea, and you are at high risk as an entrepreneur because the amount of thinking that you engage in. So if you're going to engage in that kind of thinking, it's important that we step back from it. I am okay. That sucks. I am okay. In a moment, we'll talk about how to address other people so that we don't crush them, because that's the third risk. 95% of the population, that's 9.5 out of 10 people, cannot separate their idea from their self-worth. If you took your hands and interwove your fingers and squeezed them together, they're inextricably connected. You cannot separate them. You criticize their idea, you crush their self-worth. Oh, do we want to be hyper-vigilant how we handle somebody's idea? Great risk to connection with people when we think a lot and get attached to our thoughts. The next one, when we listen to these thoughts, we create expectations. Now, we've talked about this in goals and expectations in terms of fantasy and catastrophe. It's the same thing as here. Except for this is our external world. We're dealing with other people. We create expectations about how this should be done in the world, how everybody should show up. Expectation is a concrete condition for happiness. And there's a very high likelihood that it won't show up exactly the way we think about it. We're dualistic in nature, so it's all or nothing. We will fight for what we believe is right, and we'll crush people. Can you see the pattern? Fifth, when we listen to these thoughts, we'll experience physiological reactions. And this is the reason why we have a hard time stepping back from these thoughts. The feelings we get from the ligands and neuropeptides that are released in our body, They communicate with the cells of our body. In the cells of our body, we are feeling anxious, frustrated, overwhelmed, angry. Because we are feeling it physiologically, we believe this is who we are. No, we just had a thought process that we were not in control of. And that thought process caused the release of a chemical, and a chemical caused a certain emotion, and we are now reacting to an emotion. That's as simple as it goes. So we want to be very careful when we're using these thought processes so that we don't end up in constant reaction to these physiological issues. Now, the last thing is when we do this, we can feel really discouraged. Life or death. Right or I'm wrong. All or I'm nothing. And we'll engage in what's called catastrophizing. Same thing we do with fantasy. Except for now it's just expectation. It's not showing up and we start catastrophizing. Worst case scenarios, which just cause more chemical reactions, deeper emotions, more attachment, and we spiral out of control. One of the greatest causes of immune deficiency disease, exacerbation of diabetes, hypertension, and frankly, cancer is the chronic release of these chemicals in our body due to needing to be right. We have obsessively thought, we've created an expectation, somebody challenges it, we crush the person, or they crush us. We take it deeply personally. Body releases chemicals. It beats up our body. It is wearing us out. Why is it? And I don't always have an answer for this, but why is it that when our neighbor offends us, we burn down our own house? Why is it when our neighbor offends us, we burn down our own house? He made me angry. No. We chose to be. That sucks. But I'm okay. I am is okay. But when we get sucked into it, we're not. And we burn down our physical body with the release of these chemicals. Why is it that when our neighbor offends us, we burn down our own house? Well, I have two exercises I want to give you tonight. Very specific activities that you can engage in to take on these three thought processes so that you do not interrupt your ability to connect with other people, the most critical of all of those processes, of all the qualities. We call it curing the need to be right. We know that with your thought processes, you're going to get attached to your ideas. You get attached to your ideas, we know that we're going to need to be right. Now, I've got people on the phone tonight. I've got some fun friends over in the family room listening to this as a group. Those of you over there listening who have your spouse with you or a companion with you, the question is this. Turn to each other and say, do I ever feel strongly enough about an idea that I need to be right? Anybody ever need to be right? Because if we do, just know we are crushing somebody else's self-worth. So what do? First activity. This is a huge power session, something we learned in the last quality, being present in the now for a period of time. I want you to sit down with someone who's been adversely impacted by your need to be right. Just identify them. Could be a spouse, could be a child, could be a business partner. Who could it be? Ask them if you could sit down with them for, and I'd block out an hour if you can. Now, this material is available in your tool set under discipline and structure, and you can print out the practicum with these instructions. I want to review them with you so they're very clear. You sit down with this person, and you say to them, I'm doing some coaching, and I've done an assessment that measures my thought processes. I've discovered that a couple of my thought processes are really very active. And when I listen to them, I run the risk of needing to be right. What has it been like for you to be in a relationship with me for however long it's been, when I'm listening to those thought processes and need to be right? What's it like for you? Now, you want to be very, very careful. This could be personal. Don't take it personally. They're just talking about when you listen to these thoughts, what's it like? Because you're a choice. You can step back from these thoughts. That sucks, but I'm okay. You can. Listen to what it's like for them and let it motivate you, inspire you to, in fact, step back from them and let go of the need to be right. Just listen. If you do this, there's only a couple things you can say. One, tell me more about that. The second one is there anything else that you'd like to share? And notice the way I said that. So, is there anything else you want to share? I mean, you'd beat the crap out of me. Is there anything else you'd like to share? do my best to step back and not listen to those thought processes as much. Be patient with me. I'll be working on that one. That's it. Now, the material will tell you to be very careful in the next 24 to 48 hours because the risk is this. If that person says something to you that these thought processes don't agree with, remember, it's all or nothing, right or wrong. They are going to want to fix that thing that's wrong. And it's going to sound something like this. You met on a Wednesday night. Thursday morning, guys, you're going to be walking up to your wife, and she's sitting there working on breakfast or whatever. And it only sounds sexist, but that's how it works in my home. And you put your arms around her, and you kiss her on the neck, and you say, I really enjoyed our conversation last night. Thank you so much. The only thing was I was concerned. You mentioned that last Thursday I said this or did this. I feel really bad that you had to carry energy about that all those days, because that's not what I meant. What I meant was, and all we're doing is trying to fix. Be right. If you make the decision to do this exercise, you let it go. Every time it sticks out its ugly head, you just bite your tongue and move forward. Let it go. Because the instant you do that, you just violated the sacred space you created when you did the exercise. And I can promise you, almost every one of you will hear something. If that person really tells you the truth, you'll hear something that you're going to want to fix. And it's going to stew and stew and stew and obsessively think about it. And the more it does, the more it's going to need to be right. And it's going to find this passive-aggressive little way with the appearance of kindness to fix it. So let that go. That's the first exercise. Second exercise, if you're ready. And then we're going to open this up for comments. Exercise number two is finding good in someone's ideas. Now, this is a fun exercise, to find good in someone's ideas. We have thought processes about people and their value. We have thought processes about things. We have thought processes about thought processes, and that's all needing to be right is about. An idea is just a thought about a thought. Somebody shares an idea, and you consciously step back and you say, you know, this human being is more valuable than an idea. I'm going to listen to what they have to say, really listen, and I'm going to search for something that's good in that idea. Now, you don't have to agree with the idea. You're just looking for something that's good in it. Now, use an example in the material. When we lived in California, we had avocado trees, and you can sit under an avocado tree and look for an avocado, and you can't see one. And you look, and you look, and finally you see one. And interestingly enough, you instantly see hundreds of them. They're everywhere. But you couldn't see them because you weren't focused on them. And so it is with good in people's ideas. When our thought process is different, the mind is all or nothing. There is absolutely no room for somebody else's idea that's in conflict. No room, period, done. Unless you step back from it and honor the person. Very high level of intrinsic validation. You find something good in their idea, and just know that thought process is going to be screaming when you get ready to share it. Don't say it. They'll think you agree with them and you won't get your way. Just be prepared for that. And share it anyway. And watch what happens to the energy of the conversation. You know what I like best about that idea is this. Whew, wow. Talk about creating a safe place. Walls come down. Cooperation can flood out. You could even reach compromise. Well, what would you think if we added this to that? If you're a team leader, you can do this with a team. Imagine three people on a phone call or in person. Sally, share with us how you would handle this. You know what I like best about that is this. John, what do you like best about what Sally said? Bill, what do you like best about what Sally said? Thank you, Sally. Bill, what do you think we should do? Oh, what I like best about that is this. Sally, what do you think? John, what do you think? And around the room you go, and when you're done, you've got some really good ideas. Ownership, based on those ideas, collectively you make a decision of how to move forward, and everybody has a sense of ownership. We're no longer pushing a wet noodle or a rope. People are engaged. You might only get 80% of what you wanted, but 80% of it will be done. When you want 100% of what you want and zero of what they want, you'll have a hard time getting 20% of it done. What I like best about your idea is. So there's your challenge for the week. I want your reading scroll number 6. Scroll 6. I will be the master of my emotions. I'll be the master of my emotions. And slip in every once in a while, scroll 7, I will laugh at the world. I tell a story in the material of when Christina was married. We had been going through difficult, difficult times for a decade, paying back $1 million in debt, just buried. And we were just coming out of that. And I was asked to speak at the groom's dinner, and I talked about Christina, and she's so funny. And I was telling funny stories. And I was laughing, and everybody was laughing. It was so joyful. And I got off the podium and started to walk down to the table, and my oldest son stood up, David. He reached out his arms and gave me a hug and held me. Then he kissed me on my cheek and whispered in my ear, "Dad, it's great to have your funny back." It had been a long time. When we are living in these thought processes, right, wrong, win, lose, all, nothing, nothing's funny. There's no room for humor. When we step back and can say, that sucks, but I'm okay. I am okay. I can find the good in another person's idea. I can intrinsically validate them. I can let go of the need to be right. I'm okay. I'm okay. I can give them the right to have their opinion, even if it's different than mine. I'm okay with that. They have the right to be on this planet. They have a right to their opinion. I'm okay. When we're okay, we can connect with other people. We can think constructively. We can be present in the now, and we can laugh. And I'll tell you, when there's humor in your life, get your funny back. Start this week by letting go of the need to be right. What's it been like to be in a relationship with me when I listen to those thought processes and need to be right? It's one. It's a great gift to give someone. I still remember someone standing on a stage in Chicago weeping, explaining he'd done it the week before and he found out his wife was going to divorce him. Oh my goodness. What a revelation. She would have hadn't been for the children. He was so unbearable, needing to be right. And two, start finding good in other people's ideas. Confront this thought process that wants you to shut them down and discover the greatest secret of success in all ventures, focusing on the other person. See, when you find good in their idea, you are finding good in them. They are tied together. You find good in them, walls come down, safe places are created, cooperation and productivity flood out. You're the beneficiary. Ultimately, everyone wins. Right, wrong, somebody wins and somebody loses. And the person who wins always loses. Because you can be right, or you can be rich, in terms of relationships and finances. Well, there's your assignment for the week. We have about 10 minutes. I want to open this up for people to share. Anything that you may have discovered through this conversation tonight, any questions that you have about your assignment, any successes that you're having in terms of your power sessions, your goal setting, connecting with people, or any challenges you're facing that you would like me to address. So it's yours. Who would like to come out first tonight? Just press *6. Matter of fact, I'm going to take this off mute, so bear with me for a moment.
Dave?
Okay, we got everybody. We can hear everybody. I just heard somebody say, Dave, you're on.
This is Linda. Hi. Last week was my first time on the call.
Oh, thank wonderful.
You. Yes, thank you for being there for me. And I had listened to what you said about being in the present and acting differently than you were feeling. That really spoke to me. And the next day, I had so many opportunities to practice that.
I was hoping you're going to chuckle at the end of that because I was too.
Way more than usual. I just couldn't wait to get home and go to bed.
Did you have a moment where you said, you know, that sucks, but I'm okay?
Yeah, I did. I remembered what you said, and I practiced the scroll too, you know, having love in my heart, and pressed on.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did things feel a little lighter when you did that?
Sure, much lighter.
Now, did the problems just disappear?
Yes. Well, they didn't disappear, but I dealt with them in a more constructive way.
Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, they don't go away. We just can finally do something about them, because some of us just want them to go away. Please. Well, welcome to life.
Right.
Maybe the next life. I don't know. Not in this one. Linda, welcome to the call. We look forward to having you with us every week and continue to share with us as you have these experiences. Thank you so very much.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dave?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome. This is Mayumi. I am a guest on your call this evening. I was actually here inside of your new affiliate launch, and I've been absolutely certain that this call was intended for me today. So I want to thank you for that. My question has to do with inside of the conversation we're in today, you mentioned commitment. And something that's been in my space and that I've been looking at for a while is my commitment seems to mutate on a regular basis into hard work. And I'm wondering what suggestions or thoughts you have about someone who is committed yet seems to sort of deviate into a sort of a disempowering way of moving their creative ideas and moving their visions forward.
Okay, beautiful question. A couple things. One, creation is hard work, but we don't want to make it harder than it needs to be. We don't want to make it boring and mundane and repetitious. What we want to do is find out how to ignite passion, a willingness to suffer for something we love that will drive our action. So it doesn't feel like work. It's more joyful, even though it may consume hours in the day. It's a different come from. And Naomi, the way we'll do that is to take you into quality number two, goals and expectations, and get a real clear understanding of what fantasy really is, because so many entrepreneurs inadvertently, 98% of them, engage in fantasy. They don't even know they are, but they engage in it. And when life shows up differently, it throws them into a depressive state. And then we got to do the work without the energy. If we can learn to use our mind in one of five constructive ways, and it's in great detail in Quality 2, exactly how to do it, if you can make the decision, you know, okay, this has got to be done. I'm okay. I'm gonna focus on using my very vivid visualization that I've been using to fantasize, perhaps, to do one of the five activities. I won't explain them tonight, but mental rehearsal, exploration, inspiration, planning, goal setting, and problem solving. What happens, Naomi, is that we get an inspired idea. The word is manifest. An inspired idea, impression, or solution to problem, how to approach the work, comes to us, and if we're wired for a functional MRI, it would ignite parts of our brain we normally don't even use. It's that exciting physiologically when it happens. Whew. But you can't get that if you're in fantasy or catastrophe. You actually have to be, but you'll want to be using your mind in one of those five constructive ways. If you are, those kinds of events are daily occurrences. And when you've got passion, then you just are driven. You jump out of bed. It's like Julia and Julia, what's that movie about cooking?
Yes.
Watched that the other night, where she's leaping out of bed at 5:30 in the morning or 6:30 in the morning. She's just popping up. She can't wait to go cook another day. Now, me, I couldn't get excited about peeling potatoes, but that was her vision. So, in short, the reason why it turns into very difficult work is that there isn't a clear vision sufficient to drive passion. And we generally discover that the vision we've been trying to drive it with is more financially oriented than people oriented, which means we're not always engaging that power that governs abundance in the process. So go to quality 2. Spend some time there. We'll be back there in just a few weeks, and we'll go through this in great detail and learn how to use your mind in one of those 5 constructive ways, and you watch your passion get ignited. You'll feel it. And you'll wake up one day 10 hours into a project, and you still have energy, and you go, I've been doing this for 10 hours. I'm supposed to be exhausted, angry, frustrated, overwhelmed, and I'm not feeling that way. I'm okay. What's going on here? And you realize you've just overcome an old habit of thinking by igniting your passion. Long answer, but that's where you're going to want to look for the answer.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Did I wear you out with that? I hope not. Naomi, I feel very passionate about this one area. This is the one that has dropped me to my knees and brought me to tears many, many times. Because so many have such clear visions of where they want to be. And between here and there, they've skipped to that place and what it's going to be like when and then. And all of a sudden, they're faced with all the stuff that it takes to get there. And it's just too hard. It's discouraging. Well, you don't get to skip between here and there. You just want to make between here and there as joyful as it can be, as exciting as it can be. And when you're in partnership with the power greater than yourself, my promise to you that you'll speed it up. It'll be a much shorter journey. Okay. Thank you. Who would like to come out next?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We have just about another minute or two. Anyone else who would like to share tonight?
Hey, Dave. This is Nancy Dana.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your posts on the Facebook.
Yes, I'm delighted. And this is my first coaching call tonight, and I'm just thrilled and delighted to be with you. And it was a fantastic call. So thank you very much for this call tonight, and I'm looking forward to many more.
Well, we're looking forward to having you here and participating with us. And again, Nancy, with your experience in life, it's just so helpful to share really what's going on as you're going through your journey. And everyone that shares just blesses the lives of everyone. So I encourage you to just be here with us. So
I definitely will. And I know we're short on time, so I won't go into more tonight. But I will tell you that this just spoke right to things that were really good for me to hear tonight. Wow. We're breaking up there. Are you there?
We're here.
Okay.
I just wanted to reach through the phone and give you a hug. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel hugged, and I'm hugging you back. So, thank you. And my one little tidbit for tonight that I read recently that has helped me with the issue of this need to be right comes actually from, I think, Buddha or the Dalai Lama. Somewhere in some Buddhist reading, I read the very simple phrase that we can practice being kind instead of being right.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, let's look for the good in that idea instead of crushing somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great way to end this call. And we thank everyone for being with us tonight. Come back next Tuesday night and let's celebrate life. Because next week I want to hear if anyone wants to share, because these can be very private moments. What happened when you did? What's it like to be in a relationship? And then we're going to dive right into finding joy in the journey and the topic of gratitude. And how can we be grateful and want more? How does that work? And how can we deal with sorrow when it comes, because it's inevitable, and find joy in the journey? That's what we're going to take on next week. So come prepared. Take this need to be right on, and let's get into quality number six and start finding joy in this process. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night, and have a great week. And we send our blessings and love to all of you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.